that some agreement could be worked out between the parties relative to the Hennepin County Library and Minneapolis Libraries. So I think Senator Reth indicated to me yesterday that she thought they had an agreement, so we're gonna learn more about that today on, what's the file number, Senator?
Senate File 1812.
Senate File 1812 is now in front of the committee. Senator Reth, welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members. I do have for you a delete everything amendment that reflects the work that's been done by the parties on this bill, and we thought it would be more easier to read and to go through if it was presented in that way rather than a page and line amendment, but I'm certainly happy to explain it first and then have you act on it.
Senator Russ, maybe we should delete everything in front of the committee. Senator Dibble?
Mr. Chair, I'll move the A4 delete everything amendment.
On the A4 amendment, all in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Contrary, no motion. Amendments adopted.
Mm-hmm. Thank
Senator
you,
Russ,
Mr. Chair.
To delete all.
Article 1 of the bill does set up the provisions under which the merger of the Hennepin County and the Minneapolis County library systems can be accomplished. Section 1 makes sure that this act supersedes anything that is currently in law with regard to either system, including the home room charter and ordinances of the city of Minneapolis. Section 2 has to deal with the definitions. There's no changes in that section, nor is there any change in Section 3, which deals with the transfer of assets from the Minneapolis system to the Hennepin County system. There's no change in the introduced versions dealing with the Minneapolis Central Library parking ramp, but does set up the arrangements under which Hennepin County has responsibility and the city of Minneapolis has responsibility. The changes come about mostly in where the focus of the discussions have been, that it would ordinarily take place in any kind of merger when you don't have two identical systems, and that has to do with the fair treatment of employees. And so we have added language that came from the House into this delete everything amendment, starting on lines 229, and the way in which Minneapolis employees get transferred into this new system is outlined there for you, and it is, that language is agreeable to all the parties. And Section 6, there's no difference between what the House and the Senate language had as it came to your committee with regard to the retirement fund. In Section 7, there's been some changes made there on the advice of bond counsel with regard to the outstanding debt and what the, again, the responsibilities are as the distinctly among or between the two parties. In Section 8, with regard to the operating funds, there's no difference there, nor in Section 9, dealing with the planetarium. Section 10, upon the merger occurring.
Senator Russ, could you pull a mic a little bit?
Oh, I'm sorry. Sure.
Apparently that doesn't amplify, so they can just speak a little louder.
I need Senator Higgins here because she never needs a mic. I'll try to speak louder. I'm sorry, Senator Higgins. In Section 9, the language is the same about the planetarium. Section 10, with regard to the Minneapolis Library Board, it is dissolved upon as of the merger date. The ballpark tax levy, the language there is the same in both the House and the Senate. No change was made there coming into this hearing. And in section 12, the requirement for transactional documents to permit all of those documents to be prepared to bring about the merger is discussed there. In Article 2, there are the statutory changes that are necessary in order to accomplish this. The first one is fairly technical, and it just deletes a reference to the Minneapolis Library Board in a fairly long section. Same thing is said with regard to the library system, separating it from the Minneapolis library system, the two distinct systems in section 2. In section 3, there's no difference between the House and the Senate versions, but the library board, which in Hennepin County currently is 7 members, is increased by 4 members to 11. And for the first 3 years following the merger, if you're looking at lines 8, 28, et cetera, the merger of the two systems, 3 of the members are required to be from the city of Minneapolis. There's no difference in Section 4 with regard to the library levy or the language in Section 5 with regard to the merger itself. The Section 6 is of interest and is new language for the Senate with regard to the effective date. And after the transactional documents, which are referred to in a permissive way earlier, have been fully executed, and the certificates of local approval and the 3 elected bodies are needed to do the approval, the merger becomes effective. The language beginning at 9:28 is important. It says that the Library Board, Minneapolis, Hennepin County, must not file that certificate of local approval until the Library Board, the City of Minneapolis, and the exclusive representatives of at least 80%, and there are 5 unions, of the represented Minneapolis Library employees have reached an agreement addressing the impact of the merger on employees. And you may ask, well, why not 100%? There are 5 unions. This was seen as a way by far a majority, and one of these unions consists of only 4 people. So, Mr. Chairman, that is the content of the delete everything amendment, which you just adopted, and as far as I know, all stakeholder parties are comfortable with this. With this language, I know Senator Dibble has some additional suggestions to improve the bill, and would welcome any questions. There are people here willing to and able to testify, if you want them to. Otherwise, they just stand in support.
Senator Dibble.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. First, I wanted to delve into the labor union issues for just a minute, because I don't want to spend too much time, because I know they're probably lengthy and complicated negotiations, and they've come to a good resolution. But I just wanted to put that out in the mm-hmm. public record. As far as I understand, and correct me if I'm mistaken, I'll just make some statements. There was concern about, of course, pay. And there's been some resolution to levels of pay, protecting levels of pay and benefits and things like that. The issue that came to light as recently as last night, was the subject of classification of employees, because Minneapolis has one or two classifications that don't quite fit into the Hennepin County scheme, and there was some concern about folks being classified arbitrarily or without any input, I shouldn't say arbitrarily, without any input by those who are affected or without the involvement of their collective bargaining unit. I know some folks are here who can speak a little bit more about that, the resolution of that issue, but I'm given to understand that that issue has been resolved, maybe not in the language of the bill, but in a tentative agreement that's been committed to paper.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Dibble, that is correct to my understanding as well.
Okay. And I think I see people nodding their heads. We'll say, for the record, Ian Stade from...
I need a mirror up there.
From Plum Union and John Thorson from AFSCME, who are the major parties involved in that concern, are nodding their heads. And I also think that the language, and I thank Senator Rest, the language at the end here is, on the effective date section, which gives some final sign-off authority to those represented bargaining units, those employees, gives folks a great deal of comfort. And with that, I'm happy that the employees, the unions issues have been settled, but there's some questions about some larger public interests that I'm hearing about a lot from my constituents, and to that end, I'd like to offer an amendment and talk about those a little bit. Mr. Chair, I don't know what the amendment number is.
Being passed off.
It's hot off the press.
The
A5 amendment. And members, you have at your places the guiding principles for the consolidation of library services in Hennepin County. And I think this is an excellent document, and this document has been ratified by the Minneapolis Library Board, Hennepin County Board of Commissioners, and the Minneapolis City Council. And it sets forth all those things that people have talked about over the years that this idea has been bandied about. You know, people are concerned that if the Minneapolis library system were ever to be merged into the Hennepin County system, the unique attributes of the Minneapolis system, the level of service it provides at the neighborhood level, the unique populations it serves, the unique nature of its collection, and that relates strongly to the labor issues because you've got a unique set of professionals who are best equipped to deal with that collection and provide those services might be overcome by a larger system that has a somewhat different focus and different set of services. And I think the guiding principles do a really nice job of really articulating that the two systems are complementary to each other, they strengthen each other, those strengths and those attributes should be perpetuated. And so I had an amendment drafted that tries to uphold those principles in a couple of different ways. I don't think I got a copy. What I'd like to perhaps see happen is that, I'm confident that the folks who are party to this agreement, who negotiated it to date, are all acting in very good faith. I've had a lot of conversation with city council members, the mayor, county commissioners, the leadership of the library board members themselves, and I have no doubt that at least initially the principles will be upheld. What I'm concerned about is 20 years from now, 30 years from now, when we're all gone, that somehow or another we can institutionalize some of those values and some of those practices. And so that's what my amendment hopes to do. What it does is it asks that, first of all, that there be a public hearing. That's another, I'll just digress for one second. To my knowledge, there's been no formal public hearing on this action to date. At least I'm hearing that. I mean, there may have been some, but people don't feel like they've had, larger community input into the process. So we ask for there to be a public hearing prior to the final enactment of this transactional document. It can be held by either all three of the jurisdictions or jointly by the jurisdictions at one place at one time in the evening, just to satisfy that request coming from the larger community. That the agreement itself be consistent with the guiding principles as set forth and adopted by the three entities. The second part asks that those three additional seats that have been designated as Minneapolis seats for those 3 years, that period be extended from 3 years to the period of time which Minneapolis is paying an additional contribution to the overall operations of the system over and above the standard levy that everyone will be paying from this point forward. And that's at least, and that's just the operating piece, not the debt service that Minneapolis has agreed to continue to maintain responsibility over, which is like 20 or 20 plus years. So that would be likely a minimum of 10 years. And my goal there is to recognize that Minneapolis is both delivering, you know, a huge, you know, huge amount of capital value, both in terms of the buildings and the collection, and the services, and keep in mind those services that are provided to Minneapolis residents take pressure off of a lot of Hennepin County libraries, because when the Minneapolis system isn't open, a lot of folks go over to the county libraries that are nearby. But it also is delivering real dollars over and above what the remainder of the county is. And then it just asks that, so that I think a period of 10 years would make sure that some of the practices and values and underpinnings of the system are really take hold and take root and are perpetuated over the long haul when we're long gone. And then finally, the final point, starting on page 17, just ask that when those particular three designated seats are named, that the candidates for those seats, that the advice and consultation of the Minneapolis City Council and the mayor is sought out. That's not an approval, it's just an informal consultation, letting folks know who we're thinking about appointing and what do you think about them. So, Mr. Chair, that's my amendment.
Senator Rick, what do you think of the A5 amendment?
Mr. Chairman, I have had a discussion with Senator Dipple about the amendment. I have no difficulty with the lines 1-3 through 1-10, nor with 1-17 through 1-19. That is the necessity of requiring the entities to have a true public hearing so that just regular citizens can participate and give their opinions about the issues of the merger before the local approval takes place. And for the period of 3 years currently in the bill, where three out of the 11 slots for the library board, where the county board, who would be the appointing authority, would need to, I think even as a courtesy they would anyway, but would be required to consult with the mayor and the city council. Extending the period, however, from 3 years to up to 10 or more years to carve out three of those 11 seats for residents of the city of Minneapolis, I do have difficulty with that. On the other hand, and as part of that, I think it is extremely unlikely, given that the number of Hennepin County commissioners who represent Minneapolis on the county board, that I believe it's unlikely that there would ever be less than three members who are residents of Minneapolis, and I don't think that requirement needs to stay in beyond that first three-year period. So my request to the committee would be to divide the amendment from 1-3 to 1-10 and 1-17 to 1-19 and vote on that separately than 1-12 to 1-16. That's just my suggestion.
Senator Dibble?
Mr. Chair, I'm fine with taking that division.
Senator Dibble, would you rather just maybe orally withdraw lines 1.11 to 1.16, or do you actually want to vote on it?
I'd like to vote on it. I'd like, you know, if it prevails or doesn't, I'd like to vote on it.
So, trying to see if we can all get along.
Trying to look out for the interests of my constituents, Mr. Chair. I'm not making this up. These are concerns that have been articulated in by quite a few folks who have been in touch with me in my office. But let me also just say for the record, this is the product of my imagination and in my work in consultation with my constituents. The city, library board, county are seeing this for the first time themselves. So they've all been good faith partners negotiating this agreement. This is, but I'm a party to this negotiation now that I have to approve this statutory language. So this is my take on it. And I'm sure that all three of them probably hate this.
Senator Rose.
Mr. Chairman, I just wanted to point out, and I don't know that it makes, this is not with on regard, with regard to the issue on which we disagree, which is 12 through 16. But with the reference to the guiding principles, in this bill, okay, the guiding principles set up in terms of governance a 10-member Hennepin County Library Board, and in the legislation we have increased that to 11. Now, I don't know that that makes any difference in terms of referencing it here with regard to holding a public hearing, but I just wanted to make sure that that number has been increased in this legislation from 10 to 11.
Senator Orton.
Mr. Chair, I was just going to make the motion to divide the question. Senator Bibble, you have to do that himself.
Go ahead.
I would make a motion to divide the question, Mr. Chair.
Senator Dibble moves on the A5 amendment, lines 1.11 to 1.16.
No.
No.
1.
It's 1.3 to 1.10.
And then can we add to that 1.17 to 1.19?
Yeah.
Mr. Chair, the motion would be to vote on lines 1.3 through 1.10 in addition to 1.17 through 1.19.
Well, I guess we can do it that way. But I was going to vote on the one part first and then the balance, but I guess it works. So, Senator Dibble, we want the motion to be on the A5 amendment lines 1.1 to 1.10 and 1.17 to 1.19.
Yes,
you'd like to vote on that first?
Sure.
Does anybody want to test? Senator Marty.
Mr. Jim, I have a question about that first part of it. You were requiring a joint public hearing. Haven't there been some of these? I mean, what's the issue?
That's the issue, Mr. Chair. There have been a number of informational meetings, but formal hearings on the exact terms of the agreement have not been held.
Mr. Chairman, I think there ought to be some hearings, at least one, where people have the chance to put their input in if that's not what's happening.
I tend to agree. Chair agrees, we won't ask for testimony on this portion. All in favor of the Dibble Amendment, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Contrary, no, motion prevails.
So, Mr. Chair, I will move 1.11 to 1.16. That would be just extending from 3 years to 10 years the three designated seats on the County Library.
Does anybody want to testify on lines 1.11 to 1.16?
I've got a question. Senator Dibble, during the time that this, I understand that this was a long negotiated series of events and discussions between the city and the county. Was the language in the bill, was that kind of what they arrived at, the three-year period of time? And why would we be wanting to change that now?
Mr. Chair, yeah, the language in the bill reflects the negotiation that the three entities have arrived at, and Commissioner McLaughlin will speak to that. I don't know how long it was. This has all actually come together quite quickly. And the reason I think we would like to change that is twofold. One is, legislators have not been meaningfully involved in the task forces that came to this decision. Now we're a party to this agreement. We have to take a vote on this particular issue. I think Minneapolis is delivering a tremendous amount of value. They're receiving value, and I acknowledge that, tremendous value. The system, I've explained to Senator West, I was a skeptic up to a few weeks ago when Councilmember Hodges brought in her financial people and really kind of walked me through the financials, and I now really, really believe that this financial problem is not easily fixed. So Minneapolis is no doubt receiving value in terms of its ability to operate a system decently. But Hennepin County also receives a tremendous amount of value, kind of a lump sum value in some buildings that are being rehabilitated on an ongoing basis. The downtown Central Library that we all know about, a unique collection, unique set of professionals to run that system, taking a lot of pressure off the Hennepin County system that they now have because the Minneapolis system isn't open for a bit out. So it's a reflection of that 10 years of extra special effort and all of the value that's being delivered to Hennepin County in an effort to ingrain in the practices and the operations of the newly formed merge system, those things that will continue to perpetuate the principles that are articulated in this document.
I'm a diplomat. Commissioner?
Mr. Chairman, thank you very much to you and the members for convening this afternoon. I come here as a county commissioner.
Probably your name for
Peter McLaughlin is the county commissioner. I come here as a commissioner representing this district is, with the exception of Fort Snelling and the airport, is 100% in the city of Minneapolis. This is an issue that was negotiated between the two library boards, the city of Minneapolis and Hennepin County, as we came up with our guiding principles. And the compromise that we reached was that because of the unique issues that would arise in the transition period, that a three-year transition period ought to be recognized in the legislation, and a guarantee of three spots to the city of Minneapolis residents should be provided. After that, we would revert, the library board membership would revert to what Hennepin County has always had, which is an open membership. No cities are designated. There's no designated spot for Maple Grove or Bloomington or Eden Prairie or any of the other cities. And the fact of the matter is, at some point in the future, there might only be two people from Minneapolis on the board, but there might be four, there might be five. And so we think that as a matter of principle, having an open membership, and now with the added amendment that there must be, for the three-year period, that we're going to have a consultation with the mayor and the city, we support that. But we think that having the open membership is the way to best reflect the interest of the county. And the city of Minneapolis remains the largest city in the county, and will for the foreseeable future, and so there's going to be strong representation there. So we think that this is a reasonable compromise that keeps the nature of our Hennepin County Library Board intact. As has the city of Minneapolis and the Library Board of Minneapolis and the Library Board of Hennepin County.
Mayor Dibble, you're swimming upstream.
And like I said, I didn't consult with the stakeholders, because you know I know that they arrive at this, but I think it recognizes the unique effort, the special effort that Minneapolis is making for 10 full years. A contribution over and above, and it's reasonable to seek to recognize that in the representation on the Hennepin County Library.
On the Dibble motion on the eighth item amendment to adopt lines 1.11 to 1.16, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Country, no?
No.
Motion does not prevail. Senator Ortman.
Chair, I have a question, Senator Rudd. What about the other cities in Hennepin County? Are they all part of the Hennepin County library system, or are there independent libraries in any of the cities?
There are two library systems currently in Hennepin County. The suburban Hennepin County system, or cities, and the Minneapolis system. Only two.
Senator Urban.
And then do the suburban cities then have their own taxing authority?
There is a, Mr. Chairman and Senator Ortman, the suburban cities taxpayers are levied for the support of the current Hennepin County library system. All of them.
Mr. Chair.
Sir Roman.
And are those funds then distributed out to the suburban libraries through Hennepin County?
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Okay. In support of that system. We have three regional. I don't know all the number of them, but three regional. We have some neighborhoods, some very small ones out in some of the smaller jurisdictions in western Hennepin County, and then we have mid-size libraries like the two that my constituents usually go to, which are the Golden Valley Library and the Rockford Road Library, which is located in Crystal.
Thank you.
Senator Dole.
When the moment is appropriate, I'd like to move the bill. Recommend it for passage.
Maybe before we do, Senator Marty.
Mr. Chairman, I'm not sure. I have two questions. One maybe for Senate Counsel or somebody else. On page 4, line 21, and after page 2, line 1, we notwithstand any other laws to the contrary, and then we have statutory changes. What are we exempting?
regarding what are we not listing, what other ones are we not listing? Mr. Chairman, Senator Marty, I don't know if, I can't name any specifics. Sometimes when a bill of this nature is, you know, there may be other provisions, miscellaneous provisions in the law that this is intended to override. I couldn't identify what those are.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Marty, could you give me the slide again?
Page 2, line 1, and 4.21. I don't think we should be using that phrase any more than we need to, and we already have statutory changes here.
Mr. Chairman, it would be my impression that that would refer to whatever kinds of session laws we've passed in the past with regard to Hennepin County has its own statute. There are the home room charter provisions for the city of Minneapolis, although we have attempted in the preemption to not require the city of Minneapolis, as I understand that, to have to go back and amend their charter before this merger is allowed to go forward, given local approval. I don't know if there's attorneys here from the county or the city that could address your concern, but that would be quick read of it for me is.
Mr. Chairman, since former Senator Merriam left here, there haven't been many people pointing it out, but we have real problems when we notwithstand everything else and which one trumps which one. I would encourage the author to find out what those things are,
sure,
and either change those laws or make specific exceptions, because that's not good. Then the other question relates to the preemption and the line 421, any provision of Minneapolis City Charter, and the preemption is Minnesota Home Rule Charter and Ordinance of City of Minneapolis. Maybe it's somebody from the city. I'm curious, why are we doing that? Why can't the city take care of that? Is it a timing issue? Maybe somebody from the city could comment on that.
Why we need?
Why do we need to preempt the city from? The city says they're supporting this. Why are we preempting the city from?
Because part of the part, it's my understanding that part of the ordinances and the charter refers directly to the library board and the Minneapolis Public Library system, and so it allows the merger to go forward without having to go back prior to the merger to requiring the city of Minneapolis to change its ordinances and to change and to subject its charter to a vote.
So, Mr. Chairman, it's partly a question of not wanting to change the law, the charter, partly a question of a vote.
Well, the whole process of changing a charter is subject to a referendum. So this is allow that to go forward in a timely fashion without moving to that.
Mr. Chair, Senator Marty, I'm Betsy Hodges. I'm on the Minneapolis City Council. And to change our charter, we have three ways to do that. The two of them involve taking the proposed charter changes to a vote. There are not municipal elections in the city of Minneapolis this year, so we couldn't do that this year, and so it would delay the consolidation of the system.
And Mr. Chairman, Councilmember Hodges, are there any provisions other than home rule? Are any ordinances there conflicting with this?
That is a question that I couldn't answer, but Councilmember Colvin-Roy may be able to.
Senators, thank you. I'm Sandy Colvin-Roy, also on the Minneapolis City Council, and I wish that I could give you a definitive answer, but what our city attorney generally answers when council members say, what does our charter say about this, that the Minneapolis charter has so many places where there are interrelated references back and forth between chapters that, and I'll say this language really wasn't discussed. I don't recall our Hennepin County and City and Library Task Force that worked out the agreements really didn't focus on that language. That's something that the attorney put in, and I believe the reason is just to be belt and suspenders about the way the Minneapolis City Charter has been put together.
Mr. Chairman, just a comment that I'm not a fan of initiative and referendum, but where we have referenda in place, I'm always troubled by going around it, and I understand the timing issue. I don't know when this takes effect. I think it is a period of time off. I wish it had gone to the voters in the past or something, because when it bothers me when we give somebody a referendum right and we take it away. But, the question here, the specific one, though, is you don't know of ordinances. It's simply the matter of the charter and the timing.
That's correct, Senator.
Thank you. Just for the information of the committee, I believe the other way that the Minneapolis City Council or the Minneapolis can change its charter is on a unanimous 13-0 vote of the City Council. And I don't think that they would be successful in achieving that. There are at least two individuals, I think, that are skeptical of this proposal. So, though they're, the majority of each stakeholder group agrees to this, it effectively grants one or more parties the ability to stop it wholly. And there won't be municipal elections, which is the alternative route to make changes to the charter for at least 2 years. And this deal came together very, very quickly. I mean, that was the reason for my skepticism. It came together quickly, over the last few months. And, I think we do accomplish some of these purposes by holding requiring the public hearing.
Mr. Chairman, one final word for one of the council members. I know you can't predict your colleagues' votes, but do you think it's one or two members who are objecting, not four, five, six? Is there a way of having a sense of it?
Senator, we have had a couple of votes already proceeding toward the agreement. The guiding principles that have been referenced here have been adopted by the City Council, as well as the Hennepin County Board, the Minneapolis Library Board, and I believe the Hennepin County Library Board. Yes. So on that sort of signal vote, there were only two council members who objected. And they had concerns, not necessarily that it shouldn't happen, but that weren't completely answered, which we had hoped to answer over the course of time before we come back and have a final vote.
Mr. Chair, Senator Marty, I absolutely agree with that. I have no doubt that there would be, I have no fear that there would be more than two, if there were two at all.
Senator Rust, is there any reason that the local government committee members would want to see this bill back in front of your committee?
No,
made
sir.
A number of changes.
No, sir.
We did a delete everything amendment here, and I'm always a little reluctant to do that. But I think considering that the chair of the appropriate committee is in front of us, that's probably an acceptable practice. Senator Dole.
Mr. Chair, I'll move the bill, and I promise not to raise any further issues. Drag it back.
Please repeat it on the floor, members. Senator Dibble moves that Senate File 1812, as amended, be recommended to pass and sent to the floor. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Contrary, no. Motion prevails.
Thank you, Mr.
Passed
Chairman.
As amended. Members, there's one other issue that we've been asked to take a little look at, so I'd like to recess, and if we could come back at 5 o'clock. And we're going to have Senator Sparks present Senate File 2305, and I don't believe we'll be voting it out, but I think it's something, an issue that the members of the committee should be aware of, and a portion of the title says, relating to real property, regulating interests in agricultural lands by aliens and non-American corporations. So we're going to have a little discussion about that at 5 o'clock. So please in recess.